Adams Marketing has been providing the government office supplies for more than 30 years. It's one of those small business success stories that show the federal market works. But Bonnie Whitaker, its vice president of federal sales, says she's worried Adams Marketing will turn into one of those small business horror stories as its revenue is in a downward spiral.
We've lost about probably a fourth or a third, 30%. We were at one time we were like at 15, 16 million. Now we're down to like 8 or 9. And that was last year. So now it's dwindling even more. I think we've done 3 million so far year to date for the first two quarters.
The loss of revenue also means Adams Marketing has laid off 5 employees who used to do government sales. Whitaker and 500 other small businesses didn't make the cut for the Office Supplies Blanket Purchase Agreement, or BPA, GSA awarded in 2010. The administration is strongly encouraging agencies to use the BPA under the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, or FSSI, otherwise known as FISI, to buy office supplies. So these non-BPA-holding small firms who have been part of a more than $472 million in sales under GSA Schedule 75 for office supplies are seeing that market shrink and having to lay off employees. Whitaker and a growing chorus of other firms are trying to make the case that the cost to government and society at large outweigh the savings from strategic sourcing as more agencies mandate their staff to use the blanket purchase agreement. GSA named 15 companies, including 13 small firms, to provide the most often bought office supplies with the goal of cutting an average of 7% of all spending government-wide. Steve Kempf is the commissioner of GSA's Federal Acquisition Service, which runs the strategic sourcing contracts. He tells lawmakers on the House Small Business Committee at a recent hearing about the impact of strategic sourcing.
It's important to understand that price is only one of FSSI's key priorities. Socioeconomic goals, including small businesses, understanding the government's spending patterns, ease of use, and removing government cost drivers are other key goals. To accomplish these goals, on each specific initiative, we work closely with other agencies to develop features and requirements, as well as obtain industry feedback and expertise. This thoughtful process has resulted in significant savings and smarter acquisitions in all of the initiatives we have undertaken.
Kempf says small businesses are receiving almost 74% of the awards under the Strategic Sourcing Initiative, which is also known as Office Supplies 2 or OS2, as compared to 67% under Schedule 75. While that may be true, small businesses who were once able to compete for office supplies contracts under Schedule 75 say they are now being shut out of the market. Rick Vogel is a federal government sales manager for Coast to Coast Computer Products in Simi Valley, California. He and Whitaker are also part of an effort called StopFSSI.org. Vogel says the impact of the office supplies BPA on small firms is a microcosm of things to come from the administration's aggressive expansion of strategic sourcing across areas such as print management, mobile devices and services, and IT hardware.
The fact of the matter is that there are about 15,000 to 20,000 federal contractors out there, and if they source each schedule down to even 40 contractors, you're talking about limiting that original pool of 17,000, the gross majority of which are small businesses and socioeconomically disadvantaged businesses, and they're going to be closing their doors and laying people off in a significant fashion. So our concern is not just that detrimental effect to small business, though. It's the effects of that flood of the loss of jobs into the U.S. economy as it is. We believe that the programs themselves are somewhat penny wise and pound foolish in the fact that for every dollar or two they're going to save on the upfront, they're going to be losing that same dollar or two or maybe even a greater amount through the social programs that are being supported by the American taxpayer.
Vogel's company, Coast to Coast, knows this firsthand. They've lost about $3 million or about half of their federal business because what they say is a requirement by agencies to use the office supplies BPA even if prices are cheaper under Schedule 75.
I was just told that by a GSA representative today who called in about one of our online prices. And I called back and said, you know, we went over everything. He's, oh, you're not on FISI. I can't use you. I said, well, but I'm saving you $2. He says, it doesn't matter. If it's close, I have to use FISI.
Dan Gordon is the former administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. His office led the renewed emphasis on government-wide strategic sourcing. He says OFPP did not mandate the use of the contracts, and agencies are free to choose the contract that fits their needs the best.
It struck us as very important that this be up to agency leadership and not dictated either by the old monopoly, the mandatory use mentality of GSA, or by OMB trying to force agencies to do something which they didn't think made sense. By the way, there were agencies, and I don't want to name them on the record here, but there were at least two agencies where there were real disagreements. One agency did analysis and said, in terms of our needs, these do not offer lower prices. And my answer was, that's your decision to make. We didn't try to escalate it. We didn't try to overrule them. Another agency had various hesitations, and we eventually discussed with them, and they came up with a plan that would have them gradually shifting over.
But several agencies have mandated the use of the BPA, including the Departments of Commerce, Homeland Security, Interior, Agriculture, and the Air Force. Vogel, Whitaker, and others say actions by OFPP and the promotion of the BPA by GSA created a de facto mandate. Adams Marketing's Whitaker says GSA is going all out to promote the use of the BPA, something it never did for Schedule 75. Whitaker says a recent experience with a Census Bureau customer shows that the BPA is more of a requirement than OFPP or GSA wants to admit.
It took her 2 weeks to get the waiver signed off to use my company to save $300, and she was told, don't expect this again. We're not always going to give a waiver just because it's cheaper. Now, what kind of philosophy is that? Why in the world did they say, anytime you find it cheaper somewhere else, go? I mean, and this is the taxpayers' money. This is your money and mine. That they're saying, no, I don't care what the price is.
Kemp says if the BPA were mandated, then it would be capturing more of the $1.4 billion market for office supplies across government. In 2011, the Strategic Sourcing Initiative brought in $257 million in sales.
The bottom line on this is that agencies are looking to save money, and if they can find a better way to do it that's cheaper for them, either in terms of their own resources or better bottom-line prices that they can get somewhere else, a lot of them are moving around. Sometimes GSA loses, you know, work to other agencies and other vehicles as well. So we certainly understand that, but it's difficult for the ones who end up on the losing end of that, as always.
He adds GSA tried to limit the impact of the office supplies BPA on small firms by closing Schedule 75 to new offers. GSA just last week extended that moratorium on Schedule 75 for another year. In part two of my report, I'll explore what some say are the potential long-term harmful side effects from strategic sourcing on small businesses. In Washington, Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The debate over the savings from the office supplies blanket purchase agreement, or for that matter, any strategic sourcing effort, is growing. GSA claims agencies are getting a better deal and are on track to save $208 million between 2010 and 2013. But other experts say those savings tell only part of the story. Sam Bornstein is a professor of accounting and taxation at Keene University in Union, New Jersey, and a partner with the firm Bornstein & Song CPAs and Consultants. He has been studying the impact of strategic sourcing on small businesses. Bornstein says his initial study of the federal initiative is showing the savings by agencies don't present the entire picture.
In our preliminary work, we discovered among the 9 contractors that we had personally interviewed, we found 171 jobs lost due to FSSI. That is shocking. Based upon our preliminary research, we discovered that all we have to prove is a net job loss of 900 jobs, and this will far exceed the $16 million of GSA claimed FSSI saving in that period.
Bornstein says it goes beyond just job losses at the affected companies.
Because the GSA seems to be convinced, and adamantly convinced, that the FSSI is working very well and are not apparently aware or concerned about the offsetting factor, which is these displaced small businesses, the financial distress, the failures, the mortgage defaults and foreclosures. And by the way, I should add that these will impact not only the U.S. economic recovery, and part of that is the housing market, because they're all interrelated.
He even questions whether GSA or OFPP did a cost-benefit analysis of the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative. Dan Gordon is the former administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. His office led the renewed emphasis on government-wide strategic sourcing. Gordon says he's not even sure if a cost-benefit analysis of that sort was even possible, looking at the broad impact of strategic sourcing beyond the government.
The idea that if you pay lower prices, that some companies are going to say, well, if with that amount of money, we're going to have to lay off staff, and therefore you shouldn't pay lower prices. I don't think you and I would do that when we were making purchases. We wouldn't walk into CVS and say, I know you're selling this product for $11, but I want to give you $15 because I want to be sure that the manufacturer's employees are well taken care of. I don't think anybody would view the fact that vendors that charge higher prices will be losers in a real competition, and therefore they may have economic problems. Golly, if that's taken into cost-benefit analysis, everybody's actions would be very different, and I don't think in a good way.
Gordon says a lot of the complaints by unsuccessful vendors could easily fall into the sour grapes category. He says OFPP and GSA were following instructions from industry to make sure agencies use the second-generation office supplies BPA.
We went to the agencies and we said, if these offer you good prices, will you really use them? And we got a whole series of agencies that said, yes, we will really use them. So industry wanted us to say these will really be used. We did what industry wanted, and now the losers are coming and saying, but why are you telling agencies to use these? We did it because industry wanted us to do it. I think we did the right thing. In retrospect, I haven't heard any criticism that would make me say we didn't take the right approach.
Steve Kempf is the commissioner of GSA's Federal Acquisition Service, which runs the strategic sourcing contracts. Kempf says, as with any procurement, there are winners and losers, but the door has far from shut on vendors who are not on OS2.
I would feel a lot more circumstance around this if we were seeing 90% of the market going to OS2 and 90% of it, you know, going to Schedule 75. We're not seeing that from the agencies. So there's still plenty of people out there that aren't using OS2, that aren't using schedules, and there's opportunities for both people in OS2 and on Schedule 75 for business.
The issue of strategic sourcing and its impact on small businesses has drawn the interest of Congress. The House Small Business Committee held a hearing last week where it spent quite a bit of time on the impact of strategic sourcing. Congressman Mick Mulvaney is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Contracting and Workforce.
I got the impression today that the GSA really made a good faith effort in the process. Now, whether or not there were folks who fell by the wayside, fell between the cracks, I think that remains to be seen. If there's folks out there listening to this that feel like that happened to them, we need to know about it. And we'd be more than happy to have a follow-up hearing and to figure out if that's the case or not. We're just trying to get the facts so that the process is as fair as possible.
Congresswoman Judy Chu is the ranking member of the subcommittee. She does have some concerns over whether the program is fair to all.
It's actually hard to determine because it seemed as though the testimony was kind of like night and day, that the small business owner had a very different perspective than the commissioner from GSA. So I would like to hear from other small businesses to see what is really the truth. Even just the question of whether this is mandatory or not was in dispute.
Kempf says GSA recognizes they may need to have on-ramps for the strategic sourcing BPA.
Well, what we're looking at is some of these vendor networks where they can actually come in with some of the vendors that were awarded contract under OS2. We've been working with them, and they've been under discussion with us about whether they could partner with them and become part of some of the folks that are on OS2, be part of their team. And we're still considering that, working with them.
He adds there's no time frame for GSA to make a decision on how to move forward, but it may be too little too late for many small businesses selling office supplies to the federal government. Bonnie Whitaker is the vice president of federal sales for Adams Marketing. Adams Marketing is one of those companies that saw their revenue decrease by more than a third after not getting on the Office Supplies 2 blanket purchase agreement. Whitaker says there was and still are other options to repair the situation.
You know, this could all have been handled by fixing the GSA Advantage and the schedule program. It didn't have to be done by narrowing the competition down to 15, which is not going to be good. Eventually, these prices will start rising up again, and there's going to be no more companies left to compete. And I know they don't owe small business anything, but you don't pull a rug out from a company, and your whole goal is to see how fast you can put them out of business and get rid of the schedule program and all that. I mean, I just think it's deplorable.
In Washington, Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.